The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. This is episode 38 as season 4 continues to roll along through the late winter and into the impending springtime. I'm Marty Gold, your host. A lot of excellent feedback once again to our most recent episodes. A lot of it coming in person now as I've been getting around from place to place. And a couple of calls have come in and emails. And you can check out all our episodes of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast on actionline.ca under the podcast tab. In particular, people were very interested in our coverage of the Russ Wyatt controversy and other things revolving around decorum and some policy decisions at City Hall. Kelly Ryback will be rejoining me in an episode or two, not today, but we're going to be following up with him to talk about homelessness, to talk about safe injection sites, other policy initiatives of the civic government, Winnipeg, the Manitoba government. We're going to be going over all of those, comparing what is being talked about here with what the experiences have been in other regions of Canada. And Kelly, of course, has a lot of insight. He's at City Hall frequently. I don't want to say constantly because the guy has a job, but he's at City Hall frequently and has a very accurate memory when it comes to who voted for what, when, and who wanted what, when, and who flipped and who flopped on various subjects. For instance, body cams, police body cams. That idea came up a long time ago, so you have to watch who says they're in favor of it now but was not in favor of it before. For instance, that's an example. Also, the episode where I interviewed representative of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation on the Winnipeg and Manitoba budgets, a lot of people really appreciated getting some other perspective in a longer, not just a soundbite, but a longer conversation on that with Gage Holbrook, and he'll be back on this program again sometime in the not-so-distant future. Another earlier in April, will the corrupt BC NDP policies be the model for Manitoba as it related to safe injection sites and drug decriminalization? And that also opened a lot of eyes, people realizing that for every piece of propaganda the Winnipeg Free Press publishes in favor of some of these policies, and believe you me, it is propaganda, that the other side of the story is not being told or is being minimized or is being categorized, cast off as NIMBYism, etc. That is not the case. So that's an example of some of the more recent episodes that I've gotten a response and reaction to, and we'll be carrying on with those directions in upcoming episodes, as well as more interviews. And I am lining those up, a couple of situations involving people who, I can't say victims of crime, but where they have questions about 911 and police response, and going to be getting to those as well. That'll be over the course of the next couple of weeks. Today, news and rumors about Manitoba MLAs. You know, in the position I'm in, I hear things, I get told things, I am asked, did you hear about things, right? And that's going on, obviously, since I hit the airwaves in Winnipeg on Talk Radio 1290, but certainly over the course of the last 20 years, various radio and other incarnations, as well as with City Circus on Shaw TV and here with the podcast. So, you know, you hear things, sometimes you're asked if you heard things, and sometimes you're told things that it turns out that they're true, or that, you know, more particularly, you know, when the drumbeat is loud, when other people are hearing the same kind of thing and it goes around, what goes around comes around and ends up on this program. This is going to be in two parts. The first part is going to deal more specifically with the Progressive Conservative Party, Progressive Conservative leadership, who's kicking the tires, who's maybe looking to buy new and they can only afford used. I'm going to be talking about that. And then the second part is of this episode going to be about a more particular example of something that's going around a lot of circles, around, in particular the city of Winnipeg, that my estimation is that it at least is worthy of mentioning aloud so that people can be aware of what may be coming down the pike as it relates to an MLA associated with the Manitoba legislature. You can hear my language is careful, but you'll see why in part two. Part one, here we go. You've never really heard me talk much about Heather Stephenson. I didn't really have a lot to do with her during the course of her political career. I have very vague memories of first meeting her before she was married at, like, you know, some Friday night or Saturday night gathering at Wise Guys or the Marble Club or whatever. There was never any, I never had any friction with her. You know, some politicians I've gotten into battles with or you know, had reason to question their performance, etc. I never had that with Heather Stephenson. I interviewed her on radio a number of times, along with other members of the Conservative caucus back in the earlier part of the 00s. Herself, you know, for instance, herself, Myrna Drieger, Kelvin Gertsen, other members of the PC caucus back in the day, Mavis Tayo, right? And Heather was a good interview. She, like I say, I always got along with her, and she was, you know, I felt badly that her personality, she wasn't comfortable on a public stage the way a lot of politicians are. But when you were around her in smaller gatherings, she was such a nice person, and very, very kind, and had a great sense of humor. I saw that firsthand. But again, it was more so in, you know, private or semi-private settings, so to speak. And that didn't really translate for into retail politics in the course of her ascension and then holding the leadership of the Conservative Party. And of course, the whole way that the leadership race was handled, there are many who wish the party could take it back, but they can't. And there are some who harbor no concerns about that. Some people think that it wasn't handled properly the way Stephenson became leader and premier. And that's actually part of the party's problem today, is that there's a split within it, a distrust within it among party members. I'll say that, you know, not a lot different from when Steve Ashton failed to unseat Greg Selinger, but a lot different in that within the Conservative Party, the stakes were really, you know, seen as much higher. Strangely enough, you know, like the Conservative Party leadership is viewed as, I don't know how to explain it, but it's seen as holding more importance to Conservatives than being the NDP leader is seen to within the NDP, because people in the NDP, you know, Conservatives too, you know, people pull strings, manage the levers of power. I'm just saying, it's a big deal when you're the Conservative leader and become the premier. And it's something that was a major accomplishment for Heather Stephenson, but taking over after Brian Pallister, it was also signaled the denouement, as it turned out, of her political career. Well, her last day is coming up soon at 450 Broadway. In fact, my information is that she'll be packing her boxes on the 25th of April and head off to the next phase of her life. You know, I'll mention that the WestJet deal that Wab Kanu, Premier Kanu, appeared at a press conference and was very, you know, ecstatic about the addition of flights in and out of Winnipeg. And to my mind, showed a little bit of a lack of class, because on the board of WestJet and somebody who helped push the deal along and bring that investment into Manitoba was none other than Heather Stephenson. And again, she's doesn't really beat her own drum very much, I guess, is a way of putting it. In any event, that's an example of the kind of influence that she can have in boardrooms, in the course of business. And she's, as I said, looking on to the next phase of her life. She'll be packing up, leaving on the 25th. And I give her credit for that, because she could just as easily keep her seat. The House rises, not coming back till, I don't know, I guess September. Keep getting that paycheck. Maybe show up at the constituency office once a month to make a few phone calls to the voters in Tuxedo. She could spend the summer at the lake, collect her paycheck, and then quit in September. But she's not doing that. My understanding is that she'll be and it's widely understood among other circles that she'll be leaving on April 25th. And now you know why the Conservatives set the election date, the leadership election date, for April 26th, giving themselves a full year beyond the Stephenson era, and gives the party a chance to decouple itself as best it can from the previous administration. Now, I'll add parenthetically that I'm also advised that another MLA is going to be departing the legislature or announcing their departure from the legislature on or near April 25th. I was told it's going to be the same day, but in that case, Heather Stephenson's done with politics. In this case, this MLA in question continues to harbor other political aspirations and is going to be moving on, so the story goes, from the Manitoba legislature, but is not going to be retiring from politics. Now, there's other reasons why the party is taking a year. Resources are depleted. There's deep internal divisions about the way there are a lot of, as they call them, ballot deprived conservatives who felt rooked. I think you can still use that word by the previous leadership process, and whether they're supporters of Ken Lee or Shelley Glover or whoever, there are points that were made that are important. They came up at the leadership review or the whatever they called it, the process review, in January. There's some mending offenses that still needs to be done, but more particularly, one of the problems is there's no candidate that is really obvious from within the ranks of the Conservatives that is electable to, in particular, the Winnipeg electorate, battleground Winnipeg, but they just don't see an obvious candidate who they can present as an alternative premier to Wab Kanu. Low bar, I realize, but the idea is to give some time, see how things shake out, who moves into which camp, who stays neutral, whether there's any last-minute candidates, dark horses, etc. So there are a few tire kickers. Now, normally, for instance, an interim leader, somebody who takes over leadership of a party that's in a state of transition, normally they're sort of explicitly removed from throwing their hat in the ring, but rumors persist. I've heard it from a number of places. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but people believe that Wayne Owosco is kicking the tires, as I said. He's feeling out the possibilities. Owosco, as I recall, actually a fan of my work, of our style of journalism and holding governments accountable about question period and such things. I don't know how he'd get around, having served as interim leader and then entering a race. I'm not sure how that's going to play out. I kind of think that that's a very unlikely scenario, but something might convince him it's a worthwhile shot. One name that everybody talks about, one of the few names everybody talks about, is Abhi Khan. Abhi Khan has had baggage inflicted on him. The conflict in the Middle East, a polite way to put it, has made him unpopular in a couple of different communities. Because no matter what he says, it's the wrong thing to say. No matter what stand he takes, somebody's going to get pissed off with him. And so there's certainly militants within the so-called pro-Palestinian camp that are not Abhi Khan fans. And at the same time, there are people within the Israeli community, the Jewish community, many of whom actually live in his riding, who are disappointed and who feel let down. Some of this goes back to when he took the stand about the nursing student who'd been drummed out of the Nursing Student Association vice president, actually, or president, who'd been drummed out of the University of Manitoba and then, suspended and then let back in. And he spoke up in her defense without realizing the vile kinds of things she'd said. And it kind of buried him, buried him in one direction. And then when he tried to apologize for it, not realizing how bad her transgression was, well, now her supporters didn't like him either. So Abhi Khan is digging his way out from a couple of holes that he's standing in, one foot in each. And then there's also the question of people wondering, there are those that slag the party's performance and tie it to Abhi Khan's growing prominence throughout the campaign period, and if he's connected to certain elements of the campaign, certain messaging that people think was, what's the term I'm looking for? Unproductive? Counterproductive? And so we'll see whether Abhi Khan is able to generate enough sense of support that he feels he can also enter the race for leadership. Now, right now, there's no, as far as I know, nobody's actually outright declared. However, upon Heather Stevenson, announced she was going to be leaving and resigning her seat. It's a question of when. And as word got around River Heights, a tuxedo, that she was going to be vacating the premises later this month, the biggest question that was being asked within the Jewish community wasn't, who's going to take over from Heather? Who's our new MLA going to be? No, the question was, who's taking over her office space? Because there have been hopes for a long time that Myers Delicatessen would expand their restaurant. But unfortunately for the corned beef and kreplach crowd, that isn't, I am told, in the cards, that Myers will not be expanding their table options by taking over the space immediately to the west of them. But I am told that someone else is going to take over the space, that someone else harbors aspirations of assuming her seat in the legislature and also harbors aspirations of assuming her role as leader of the Conservative Party. And that would be no surprise to anybody in terms of names that have been kicked around, Kevin Klein. I have not spoken with Klein's been interviewed on this program many times, been interviewed in the Kick FM studio. I have not spoken with Kevin Klein about this. This is just sort of the story that's going around, is that he's going to be looking for that seat. It makes sense because he clearly is not done with politics. He's clearly not done with provincial politics. He has to find a seat, and there's a bit of a tradition that people that assume leadership then try to go after the seat of the former leader. And so we'll see what comes to pass. But this appears to be the case. A client is positioning himself for a run at the leadership, and by getting an early start would be the front runner. And that has both benefits and drawbacks, which we can discuss another time. But he's not the only name that's come up. And again, I hear things. I get asked if I've heard things, and this name has come up three times from three different sources, and therefore, although I don't know that it's been discussed in the mainstream media, and I kind of doubt that it has, but certainly not widely discussed, but there's another person looking, apparently, at running for the Conservative leadership, becoming opposition leader, and that's an individual from outside of Winnipeg. None other than the mayor of East St. Paul, Carla Devlin. Her name has come up a few times now, that she's taking a look at putting together a leadership campaign. She is the president of Carrington Custom Homes and was first elected as a councillor in Ward 1 in the rural municipality of East St. Paul in 2018. Now, one thing that I noticed about her in a story about her election as mayor of the RM in a Free Press story, that, as she put it, quote, "This was the first time I personally put myself on social media, and I can tell you that social media does something to an individual. I've never experienced cyberbullying until now, and I feel there's a need to spread awareness and talk about this. I had a hard time with it." Well, that's the reality. Kevin Klein has certainly taken a lot of very mean-spirited shot. Heck, I mean, people said awful things about Heather Stephenson. One of our highest rated, just outside the top 20 now, podcasts was about the Winnipeg media, what we call two-tiered media, ignoring election intimidation and the attack on her office. As the episode put it, pump the NDP, but ignored election intimidation, not just of Stephenson, but most prominently about Stephenson, where it took them like a day and a half or 2 days to report on the defacing of her office and of the wall beside her office. You get the idea. It's not easy to be a woman in politics. It's not easy to be a conservative in politics. It's not easy to be in politics nowadays in terms of what happens in the public eye. But things aren't going to get any easier on social media for somebody like Carla Devlin. If they put themselves out there like that, because the, you know, the jackals are out, the jackasses are braying, people could know nothing about Carla Devlin and still try to demonize her simply because she wants to lead a conservative party, any, you know, somewhere in this country. Her name has also come up. One other that's been speculated about, and there's sort of a storyline that goes with this, Candace Bergen, the was she the co-chair, I think, of the conservative campaign, now retired from federal politics. But as the story goes, she's going to be watching who does and doesn't enter the conservative, the provincial conservative race closely. And maybe evaluating, may end up evaluating whether her presence, maybe not being first out of the gate, but being, coming in later in the game, whether that's a tactic that could sweep her to victory and to the leadership of the provincial Conservative Party. Of course, if I hear anything else, especially when it comes to 2, 3, 4, 5 sources, I'll make sure to, at some point, clue you good people out in audience land, out in podcast land, be cluing you in to those things. So you know, people talk about things. The mainstream media doesn't really talk about it too much. What I've just reflected to you has come to me 3, 4, 5 different ways. And I'm going to continue, obviously, to be covering the leadership race and covering the comings and goings at the Manitoba Legislature. Speaking of which, right after this break, very quickly, you're going to want to listen to the next segment about a situation that is being widely discussed in quiet tones. Does that make sense? Widely discussed in quiet tones all over various sectors of this city. And when, as I said, when the drum beats that loud, it tells you something's, in this case, not going on, I guess could be going on, but has gone on and has the potential to be disruptive to, at some point, to the business of the House, meaning the Manitoba Legislature. Back with more right after this.
The Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is always listening to you. Send in your comments, story tips, and ideas to martygoldlive@gmail.com. TGCTS, making sure your voice is heard.
For your home renovation and repair needs, call PKP. For over 20 years, we've built trusted relationships in the North End, West Kildonan, Garden City, and the Maples. Buying a refurbished home? We'll do your pre-purchase inspection and make sure you get what you're paying for. Go to our Facebook page, PKP Renovations and Repairs, or call us 204-297-5446. That's 204-297-5446. PKP Renovations and Repairs.
And they're saying the judge got it wrong. Everyone got it wrong. Everyone is wrong. But the city of Winnipeg.
Jamrock Security has effective and creative ways to help protect your business, your home, and your community. Jamrock gets the job done so you can rest easy. Go to jamrocksecurity.ca or call us at 204-880-1564. Do security. Do it smart. Jamrock Security.
Back with more here of episode 38. You know, an example of the kind of thing that goes on that the media didn't talk about at the legislature. Just to give you another example. When Pierre Poilievre went to the legislature before his Axe the Tax gathering, his rally in Winnipeg, he was going to the legislature, and Wab Kanu was pacing back and forth for 43 minutes. Back and forth. Like Barney Rubble waiting for the arrival of Bam Bam. And Poilievre kept him cooling his heels. And then Kanu willingly joined the, if not the Axe the Tax crowd, the Axe the Tax for Manitobans in certain respects of heating fuel crowd. And that also created a tremendous outcry, a wailing from the eco freaks in the new Democratic Party that couldn't believe that Wop Kanu would dare to pose the leader of the federal opposition and take a common stand against the public being fleeced, forced to pay a tax that has absolutely no benefit to the community and no benefit to the quality of air that they're breathing or anything else, because the carbon tax is a climate scam. Now, keep in mind, though, that Wop Kanu, for all his faults, he's not a real anti-capitalist the way almost everybody in the New Democratic Party is. He's a political chameleon, more so than a committed socialist. And so, in a way, it's not surprising. You know, he's been trying to keep his caucus in line by taking relatively moderate positions, not going completely all out. Now, a lot of the policies have come out lately are catering to the very niche NDP base in terms of identitarians and gendertarians and things like that. But Kanu's tried to, steer in the middle a little bit. As we said, waffle to the right to win the election in that podcast back in October. And he's continued to try to steer things that way. But this situation with him pacing like that, I can't imagine what it was like to sit there if you're an NDP operative, in the legislature, and you're sitting there waiting with Kanu, and he's like pacing like a caged cat, and you're like... seething because you don't even want to, Pierre Paul, you have to darken the doors of the legislature and being seen anywhere in the proximity of the Golden Boy. And Pierre took his sweet time and then played to a completely sold out house later that evening. You could just see that was not a great day for the NDP and caused Kanu internally, as I understand, a little bit of grief from people that are just so, Pierre is Trump, that crowd. That they just couldn't believe that he would have done, really, what do you expect? A statesman-like thing. You're the premier of a province, the federal opposition leader shows up, you're going to snub him? Well, I guess if you're a Marxist, you would. That's one example of, the kind of thing that's gone on at the ledge that nobody reported on, even as an anecdote, right? The little sidebar. Well, one thing that's going on is that there's a lot of chatter in the community. And I first heard about this about a month ago. It's about 4 weeks ago now. And I heard a certain story from one source. And then a couple of days later, somebody else who doesn't know the first source, said, hey, did you hear anything about? And they had heard a couple of these, little aspects of the story, but they'd also heard something that I didn't think, wasn't too clear the first time I heard it. But then they added a little something that sort of made sense in terms of what I'd heard. Then about a week after that, there's a supporter of the program, politically connected. All these individuals, they don't know each other. They aren't in business together or work together or anything like that. Very different segments, sectors. The Manitoba economy, I think is one way of putting it. And I want to feel them out. Have you heard anything about an MLA? And before I could even go into the deal, if you heard anything about so-and-so, right away, they blurt out exactly what I'd heard and added another component. And then today, a loyal listener telling us that two other sources independently came forward with the same details. Click, 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 click. So there's a story going around. And it's important because this isn't, some piece of gossip about, something to be easily dismissed. It's not superfluous. It's not incidental. It's not even about, this is like even Sven Robinson shoplifting. It's serious enough that people are talking about it, as I said, from various sectors in the community. public service sectors, political sectors, business sectors. So this story's getting around. And I can't get into the particulars per se, but here's what people are talking about. A veteran member of the Manitoba Legislative Assembly was involved in an incident that would fall in the realm of a domestic dispute. And also involved in this incident was a senior official from the Winnipeg Police Service. And the police attended the scene. And again, without getting into the particulars of what people are saying about the situation that the police supposedly came upon to investigate, every story about this situation, about an MLA in the Manitoba Legislature, ends with the same four words: a promise to appear. In other words, somebody involved in that situation was given a date, I'm guessing, by which there would be a determination whether criminal charges were going to be laid or pressed or whatever. Now, I've heard this five times over, and I assure you, there's no way that reporters and columnists and pundits in the corporate legacy media of Winnipeg have not also heard this. Cops are talking about it. People around politics are talking about it. People around government are talking about it. That a member of the legislature, an MLA, was involved in an incident involving a senior police officer, to which police attended, and somebody was given a notice to appear. And that the government is waiting anxiously for the other shoe to drop. When the drumbeat gets this loud, it's safe to say something happened between someone and someone else. And I'm confident in the sources that I have and the details that they brought forward, which I've heard from completely separate entities over and over and over and over again. Now, this can create difficulty for the business of the House. Anytime a member of the legislature gets implicated in something like this, and yes, rumors and gossip, they're terrible things, but there's a stage at which a rumor may not be a rumor and gossip may actually be fact. I know there are people that are paying attention to this situation and to this, I'll use the word case, even though as far as I know, no criminal charge has been filed against anybody, but it's the prominence of the individuals being talked about that has raised concerns, if this is true, about the implications more generally for the people involved and the institutions, in effect, involved. Because let's face it, if a senior elected official and a senior police officer in any jurisdiction, pick Vancouver, Toronto, Halifax, Montreal, Dallas, Washington, D.C., Detroit, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Scottsdale. If you had any kind of an incident involving an elected representative and a police official where cops were called and somebody's given a notice to appear, the tongues would be wagging. The questions would be getting asked. And one of the questions would be getting asked is, how did this come about? And what's actually the story between these two individuals? So a lot of nervous people up at 450 Broadway right now. And a few other locations as well. I'll continue to suss out the fact from the fiction, the rumor and gossip and innuendo from things that seem plausible or verifiable. And of course, if you have any comments, news tips, insight, or want to contribute to the cause here, MartyGoldLive@gmail.com. Every episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast are on Actualine.ca as well, under the blog tab, various articles we've been publishing. And there's going to be more coming in about the state of anti-Semitism in Winnipeg and in Manitoba and in our country. In fact, I can tell you folks, though, going into detail, that recently at one public demonstration, there were chants that were made that so horrified the police officers in attendance that the report that they wrote has actually been escalated to senior brass, as it was put to me. And I can tell you that these chants that may be offensive, if not actually genocidal, these chants were not coming from anybody who could be identified as Zionist or pro-Israel. If any action is taken, it would be, to my knowledge, the first, despite numerous supposed hate crime investigations in this city. Now that, again, something that we'll follow up on. Those stories, occasionally we'll raise it in the podcast. Those stories are posted under the blog tab. You see the podcast tab, the crime tab, city and province. We try to cover the waterfront here. Your contributions make it possible. For those that didn't hear, our fundraising campaign, $4,345. Our goal was $3,800. I'm going to have to design another campaign. We're going to be looking for more sustainable funding for greater input. Obviously, we're filling a need in the community. In terms of alternative media, in terms of a coverage of politics, of what's going on at City Hall and the legislature, what's talked about, what's not talked about, that comes about because of your support. There's no Trudeau here. Justin Trudeau doesn't want guys like me to be working full time, giving you the straight goods on what's going on in your community, what's going on with government policy. I broke down the pledge for 4 million homes in 7 years. I broke it down with my Faye Hotchman high school math. It comes out to 1,560, I think it was 65, houses a day. Justin Trudeau doesn't even know which way to hold a hammer. Where are all the tradespeople supposed to come from? Where's the building supplies supposed to come from? If all these houses are being built through some sort of federal program, what does this mean for housing on reserves, for instance? How badly is this going to drive up prices? You know, subjects like that, because we have a little bit of real world knowledge here, ignored by the mainstream media. You didn't hear anybody immediately say, well, this is poppycock. I think you can use that term still. There's no way to build that many houses. 4 million houses in 7 years? Not going to happen. Mainstream media just gave Trudeau what he wanted, the headlines. I look behind the headlines, and when you read our headlines, you know that there's a better story being told, a more accurate story being told, a more entertaining story being told, and a story that's more aligned with your values, that's more aligned with what's of interest to you and what's of concern to you, of concern to your family. And I'll continue to try to get into federal topics every once in a while as well, I assure you. Once again, MartyGoldLive@gmail.com for questions, comments, news tips, interact contributions. You go to the donate page on actualine.ca coming up very soon. I happened by fluke, absolute fluke, to bump into Counselor Schreier today at a supermarket. And he is doing some research about a couple of matters we want to talk with him about. He will be doing an interview here on this program. That is committed, as I mentioned earlier. A couple of families are dissatisfied with 911 and police response. We'll be doing those interviews as well. Kelly Ryback, he'll be back for an interview more about City Hall, about various policies relating to homelessness and drug addiction, other such things, and whether these policies are going to work, or if in fact they're going to be the ruination of Winnipeg, or of at least some neighborhoods, if some of these things come to pass. All of this is important to me because it's important to you. The way I was raised, the way I was taught, the way I was trained in this business is to always respect that you have the power. Thank you for listening.
Putting the people first. Reality Bites Back with the Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
I will keep an eye on all of these characters, all these media darlings. I will call them out when they gaslight you, and I especially will stick up for you when you have very real fears and concerns about public safety, about crime in downtown, about crime in the neighborhoods, and all the other things, because we deal in reality here.
For what really goes on in the streets, the courts, the legislature, and City Hall, it's the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast on actionline.ca, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Your voice.
Thanks for listening to the Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com. Or follow him on Twitter @TGCTS.